Drive with Julian Clover.
Getting you home.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
William Crichton's album Empire has been heralded in his native Australia as the best album of the year, domestic or international. On his first visit to the UK, I spoke to him yesterday afternoon at the Cambridge Folk Festival. You're Australian, of course, and when I was doing my modicum of research, I saw that you'd been completing up a tour in Australia. And then I looked more carefully and saw that you'd actually only completed it a couple of days ago.
That's right. we completed it not yesterday, the day before, and hopped straight on a plane and flew to London.
That's astounding. How do you can't have adjusted to what time does your brain think it is at the moment?
I think it's about 1 a.m. or something now, but so it's not too bad, you know. We got up quite early this morning to drive down here, though.
Yeah.
You know, but I enjoy it. I enjoy a new scenery, new music. It's all part of it.
Because this is your first time, I think, touring in the UK, but have you actually set foot on British soil before?
No, this is the very first time I've been here, so I'm excited to be here, and I've heard a lot about it. You know, I grew up thinking about England a bit, you know, and in many different ways, so it's good to actually lay eyes on it.
I should point out to you the weather isn't actually normally like this.
It reminds me of Australia.
I was going to say, it does tend to rain a bit here from time to time, but we haven't seen too much of that recently.
I can tell that it's a bit browner than usual, that's
for
sure.
Yeah, no, very, very much so. So your family background, are there any UK connections at all? Are you aware?
Most of us, they're mainly Scottish. My mum's side's English and my dad's side's Scottish. So, you know, you can trace it back to quite early on there in that Australian sense of things, I suppose. And, you know, a lot of my music is about trying to research exactly what it is to be Australian, exactly what it means. You know, it's a very new word. It's a very new thing. And, you know, it comes with many preconceptions to a lot of different people.
Relatively speaking, you are a young country.
We are a young country, but we're also the oldest in the world, if you think about the Aborigines. The Aborigines had a culture far richer than any. If you go back hundreds of thousands of years, they were the first agricultural, they were the first to make bread in the world, they were the first to construct a language in the world, the first to construct music in the world. So it's quite interesting when you put it in that context, and then you think of it as a young country. So I often think to myself, well, where does it, that there's a dichotomy there, you know, and we have this strange illusion that newer is a better, but in actual fact it's not. We have so much to learn from our past.
Well, I guess people come up with things and they declare them to be new, and then a little bit more research to discover that it has been done, and done many years ago and forgotten about.
Well, exactly, and you know, my ancestors, the English and the ones who come out, certainly did our best to wipe out the Aborigines and wipe out that history, you know, and thankfully the new generation of people are very interested in it, and there's still Aborigines out there telling stories and talking about it and inviting you know, white people into that, which is fortunate, because otherwise it would be lost.
And how do you bring that out in your songwriting? My mind is going to I think it's Midnight Oil, a Truganini.
Oh yeah,
I'm familiar with that story.
Absolutely.
How does that, you know, what is your version, if you like? How do you sort of bring the Australia of the Aboriginal movement into the modern context?
Well, I write about it from my perspective because, you know, I can't write about it from theirs. And so I just try and do exactly that. I try and research what I can, look at the things that my ancestors have done. And we grew up in Australia with a bit of a facade of this, you know, this wonderful first settlement and these pioneers and the wonderful relationship that they had. And it wasn't until I got a little bit older, into my later 20s, that I realised that the massacres that unfolded and whatnot. And I guess it really came to a point when I was camped out in the desert, well, on the edge of the desert, at a place called Ningen, by the place called the Bogan River. And I had a dream one night, and the next day I wrote a song called Fire in the Empire, and that was really the catalyst for me unlocking a lot of those thoughts and feelings. And you mentioned Truganini. She's an interesting example, you know. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Tasmania, but to sum it up, the British started on one side of the island and they went to the other side, killing and raping everybody in sight.
Yes.
Every Aborigine in sight, and Truganini was the last one there. But, you know, it's easy as Australia to, and then when you form that, to form some sort of a hatred toward the mother country or something like that. But then you have to realise that that's a dichotomy in itself as well. There were people here fighting for that not to happen. There were people on the ground there fighting for that not to happen. Wonderful English people who were over there flying the flag for Aborigines and standing up for them, you know. So it's just people are people, you know. We make mistakes. We do stupid things. But it's up to us to now, in this generation, to try and, you know, move forward in a more progressive way.
And I suppose all history has a voice, and very often that's the voice of the person who's written it down.
Absolutely.
The reportage at the time, and the perspective of 200 years ago is not necessarily the perspective that if it was written today. But of course, today we don't have the opportunity to get those first-hand accounts.
That's true, you know, that's true. We are lucky, I guess, in Aboriginal culture, there's a very strong audible history, you know, stories being told, and there's a, and that's very sacred. So there's no lies there, you know. So you can be, it's as good as the written word. Better.
And so I think of Icelandic friends of mine, and you know, they do the storytelling today, probably in a modern context, in the way that their forefathers did. And I'm imagining a similar sort of scenario of stories being passed through the generations of the Aborigines in Australia, and people on all sides now able to pick up on them.
I think that's a very fair statement, absolutely.
Do you think sometimes we get in Britain, I'm trying to think of an example off the top of my head here, which typically I'm unable to do, but there may be an issue, something which has happened, a past crime, which somebody has been committed, or a group of people who have been wronged, very unjustly wronged, and then the leaders of the day, you know, stand up in the Commons and make an apology. How do you feel? Are we right to apologise for things that we wouldn't have done ourselves?
That's a good question, but I think it's important to recognise it. And I think it's important to say, well, a sorry is a feeling of empathy. You know, I'm sorry that you might have lost somebody. I'm sorry that, you know, we say that in day-to-day life. So it's more about that feeling of empathy. Mm. And I think as long as it's genuine, and there's a genuine track after that of trying to better that, trying to make the change so that never happens again, and
yes,
so the truth is told, I think that's very worthwhile to say sorry. I think it's very worthwhile to empathise and know that story and take it in as truth and as part of your history and recognise that, you know, part of my history is very dark and very, and I feel very ashamed of it, you know, and so, but part of it is beautiful as well. So it's, and the future can be both of those things, you know, we can move forward through it. Mm.
So the apology in a way is not necessarily the standing up and saying sorry bit, it's the empathy and demonstrating that the lesson's been learnt.
And acknowledging that it happened.
Yes.
Acknowledging.
Yes. Tell me about the album, Empire, which I think is you've been promoting on your Australian tour, no doubt be playing a few tracks here at the Folk Festival as well.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of it's about that. A lot of it is about what we've been talking about. But a lot of it is also recognising that, you know, happiness is such a thing to hold on to in life and to look for. You know, I have a couple of kids of my own, and I see them playing in the backyard, and they're just in the, they're present, they're in the moment, they're breathing the air, they're looking at the birds, they're smelling all the beautiful flowers, they're in life. You know, they're not worried about what's going on in the news, or they're not worried about things. And I think that there's a lesson in that, and that being present with each other and being in the moment and feeling that happiness is the key to life, you know. And so I explore that side of my life, and I explore the darker themes as well with this new album. I think the first album, I mean, this is my only second album, and the first album was more telling stories about growing up in Australia, and this one is a real exploration into different themes.
Yeah. Well, William, thank you very much for speaking to us
Thank you so
today.
Much, Julian.
You're off to, well, I know you've got a gig, I think, in London, but you're also heading off to Denmark as well. So
that's right. Well, we're heading up to Boomtown Fair as well, and we're heading up to the Green Note in London and a few shows around the UK, and then we're over to Denmark for the first time, and then through Scandinavia. Then we're heading over to America for a few shows and festivals, and then up to Canada. And then we finally get home and go over west in Australia. So we wrap up in about November.
Okay, well, enjoy the travels, and thanks again.
And thank you very much for having me in your country.
I was out where the straight road ends, red dust rises, muddy river bends. I laid down on the sand, fell into a dream. The earth and the crow appeared with a beak of eyes filled with iron tears.